Marquise Lee got a lot of playing time. How do you think he did?
Good. You know, it's good, again, like we said, to have him healthy is key, and we'll continue to, you know, increase his workload or increase his time, and he's done some good things.
What was your evaluation of pass protection for the line and also the run blocking?
You know, we, certainly our run game, that's a big emphasis for us this week. We want to be more physical, certainly, and we need to be more productive at that part of the game. I think we went into that game, you know, knowing against – you know, in the Green Bay, that was a big part of trying to limit the possessions that they would have on their side of the ball. And so we were committed to the run, but we weren't as efficient as we needed to be in the run. So it's big emphasis this week.
How do you get the run game where you had it in August if Chris Ivory isn't available to you?
You know, we're comfortable. Obviously, we like T.J. Yeldon, and Chris Ivory was a bonus for us when we got him in free agency. But we liked the emergence of T.J. last year. He's a very good football player, very productive college career, and a good as a rookie last year. So, you know, we'll do some things differently. Kind of, you know, the plan certainly was a late, obviously, Saturday night. We didn't know until Sunday morning that Chris wasn't going to be part of the plan. So we'll tailor some of the things that we're doing to fit more of TJ's strength.
But are you prepared to throw the ball 39 times?
You know, I think, again, we kind of go into every game. Every game's different in how you game plan and how, you know, and keys to victory we talk about, and both sides working with one another as far as, and special teams involved in that. How are we going to win this football game? So the plan is different each time. You know, Gus and as we meet together with the coordinators and as a staff, we always talk about we'll do whatever it takes to win the football game, but certainly running the football will be important for us moving forward.
How much did the last-minute news actually alter your plans?
Oh, it does, certainly, but I think you got to roll. It's no different than if you have an early injury in a game, you know, and that happens every Sunday where, you know, you have a player that gets injured early in part of the game and you just have to, you know, adjust from there.
You can't adjust the whole plan in an hour, Greg?
Yeah, we can. Yeah. And I think I'll give credit to the players. They rolled with it. I mean, nobody knew. You know, until, because he was admitted early in the morning, so nobody really knew about it until we got to the stadium. But again, they hit the ground running, and I thought they adjusted very well.
How did Blake play?
What's that?
How did Blake play?
Played good for his first game out. You know, again, I think, you know, against a good quality opponent, but I thought, you know, his, things that we talked about at the end of training camp that he improved upon, his tempo, his knowledge of the offense, understanding situational football, all of those things. Is very good at, you know, had the early turnover, unfortunate, you know, it was just, there's nothing wrong with the decision-making. It was the accuracy part of that throw that resulted in the interception, but he did a good job of taking care of the football for us, and we're real happy with that, certainly.
He's still such a young guy. How is his progression as far as pre-snap and getting you guys into the right
much
play?
Better, much play. Better, and again, that's an ongoing process, but certainly right now, he's ahead of the curve of most second-year players in the system and a third-year player overall. So the more and more comfortable he gets with it, then certainly the more he has those tools at his disposal, you know, in pre-snap. But he did a great job. We talked about protecting the quarterback and how important it is for him to understand the protection part of it. And we had no free hitters and no mental errors there in terms of guys coming free. We had people on the right people. At times we got beat physically, but in his first game out, he had no issues there in terms of protection part of it.
Not having Chris Ivory, is that hurt in another area, like pass protection? You know, you don't have TJ in there.
Well, I just say any time you lose a player of his caliber, you know, it's certainly, you know, for your team, you hate to lose a player like that at any position. But I think that is the reality of the NFL, and it's the reality for every team in the NFL. And it's always that next man up theory, and that's the way that you coach it and you preach it. And we have certainly quality guys on our football team and on our offense that we feel like can step in if given an opportunity. And we know that Denard Robinson and Corey Grant are ready in that situation, and they'll be ready again and prepared this week.
What did you like from Jokel at left guard, first game there ever?
Well, it was game for both the guys, Jokel and Beach, and playing together on the left side. So, you know, and it was, they only had a week together, practice together, and there were some good things there. I think they would both agree, hey, we'll get better and we'll continue to get better each week. But, and that process of playing next to each other, certainly as we talk about, it's critical for the five offensive linemen. If you can keep those guys together and they stay healthy throughout the season, then the improvement should show, you know, from week to week. So they both had a good week this week, and I think the communication aspect of those two is better, and that's a big part of it, not only just in the protection part, but also in the run game of the fits and what we're trying to get done in the run game. So they had both had a better week of practice this week.
How good are their corners, and are they the biggest challenge you face this week?
Yeah, you know, Verrett, you know, at the end of last season, we went through certainly and evaluated our wide receivers, in particular young wide receivers, and we felt like Verrett played Aaron Robinson is about as good as any corner in the league. So, and we watched him against other receivers in the league and thought he's an elite player there. And he's, you know, he's shown a good week last week, so his skills are still on the rise. So we look forward to that matchup. Last year, they, you know, we'll see how they play in this year. Last year, he followed A-Rob. We would expect to maybe see the same, but we'll see how it unfolds on Sunday. But very, very quality, talented player.
What is it about him?
He's got great feet, great speed, and good ball skills. So, you know, just, and he's got good instincts. You know, he's a good football player.
How does having a tight end combo like you got? I'm guessing you've never had a combo like this. How does it help you create mismatches everywhere else?
Like I said, it should take some of the pressure off of, you know, A-Rob, really. When you look at that, I think it's difficult. We'd say, well, they're going to have to try and help over the top of Allen Robinson. Well, if you got somebody like Julius Thomas and even a Mercedes Lewis, that we didn't do some things, and we'd like to feel like we can, one, in the run game, we can close the edges down with those two guys, and we'll get better and more efficient in the run game. But when we do spread them out and decide to jump into some open sets or some empty sets, then it's all about finding the matchups and knowing where the matchups are from week to week based upon your opponents.
So. Is it tough to stay with the tight ends when you've got A-Rob and Allen Hurns on the field?
I think when you look at it, you know, we talked about going into it last week. You know, there's a lot of, you know, as a offensive staff, certainly you're trying to find ways that where are we spreading the ball around. And it's not necessarily about how do we keep these guys happy, because as we said before, I think that we've got a lot of unselfish players that are good players that deserve to have the ball in their hands. But we go into each week and we talk about targets and who are we targeting this week in this game plan. And we felt like last week the top three guys targeted were the guys that we went into the game saying these are the guys you want to target against Green Bay. Now, it may change from week to week again based upon defensive personnel. But we like our set of weapons, and we'll continue to kind of spread the ball around. So we're a little bit, we'd like to think we'll be difficult to defend that way, because the ball is being spread around to different players, and we'll continue to look for the best matchups each week.
Can you walk us through the fourth and one at the end of the game, the decision making on the call, what you're hoping to see, and then what didn't happen?
Yeah, I always think, I told the players, yeah, I would take full responsibility for that, obviously, as the play caller and coordinator. And, we wanted to have some options. We knew there was possibility of them bringing a blitz. They didn't bring the all-out blitz that we were anticipating. And so, you know, again, I'll find better ways and better answers. I think anytime you go through a game, and you lose a game, especially one in the end like that, you lay awake at night and you think about the different other calls that we had in that situation we could have made. But it's my job to put the players in the best position possible to be successful. And in that, and I always say in that area, I did you wrong on that one. So we'll continue to look for ways in that situation to give them better answers. Our job is to give them answers on every down and distance. But in that situation there, we've got to give them better answers. You know, we had an answer. It didn't, again, we didn't execute the play. And so that again, falls on me.
Not just looking at that play, but just in general, how much freedom does Blake have at the line to change?
He does, you know, and again, we'll continue to give him more, as he talked about in those situations, specifically in those situations, because we do a lot of it on third downs. We do a lot of it in other situations, but, you know, he's to me now, understands it well enough that he can, you know, we can move forward with him in those situations.
You have a really athletic group in the interior offensive line. How much does that help you with the screen game and pulling and doing all that good stuff?
Yeah, some of those things, but again, we're like I said, we were comfortable with the right side line because they played together a long time. And Jeremy and AJ and Linder, Linder came out and played very well on a Sunday. But we're still kind of easing that left side line in and trying to find more of identity here in a run game. Felt pretty good about it at the end of training camp with a 1-2 punch with Chris and TJ. And we had a little bit of a hiccup last week, but we'll continue to kind of find our identity in terms of the run game.
What do you make of the Chargers' pass rushers?
Excuse me?
What's your thoughts on the Jaguars? I mean, on the Chargers' pass rushers.
Oh, it's very solid inside. They got the two veteran guys inside, which present a challenge for us. And then outside, Ingram's been he's a good pass rusher. He's a very good player last year. Showed up last week on the film as well. So they're a big four- or five-man rush team because they feel comfortable with those guys inside and be able to get pressure with a four-man rush. So very talented there. And again, the two inside guys, I think, they're the kind of the key to it because they make it difficult for the quarterback to step up. They get pressure inside, good speed off the outside edges. And that's where the strength is there.
Blake was able to move you guys down the field there in that last sequence right before the end of the game. Do you feel like as he progresses, he'll get to a point where you guys can count on, you know, him delivering even more results?
Yeah, we are now. Yeah, you know, again, the game was, again, two good football teams, you know, and it was such a tale of two halves when you looked at it. We felt really good there at halftime, going into halftime on how we were able to move the ball, you know. It was, like you said, the unfortunate turnover in the first series. But then after that, we felt like we were able to move the ball. We had series. We were able to get into jump into our no huddle, which Blake did a great job with there. We felt like the heat was on our side, that we were wearing them down. And then in the second half, as you know, the third quarter, we had just the one possession and only the two and the four. So we felt like at halftime, all right, we're going to continue to jump into some of the no huddle. Let's wear them down. Let's get this heat work on these guys. Unfortunately, we weren't out there enough in the third quarter. But in the fourth quarter, you know, you only have three possessions. And so we talk about when you get into a game like that, you know, how critical it is of coming out of the red zone with points and scoring points in those possessions. But I don't think, you know, on the sidelines, again, it's a totally different feeling. I think that this team, on both sides of the ball, they believe in one another. I'm sure the defensive players are the same. They've got a tremendous amount of belief in Blake and the offensive players. And the same way on our side of the ball, we've got a tremendous amount of belief in the defense going out, making a stop, and give us a chance to get the ball at the end of the game. And so I think that's what's probably different here right now is the belief that the players have in one another and the confidence that they have in one another.